Exodus chapter 28. I just want to look at two verses. The first two verses. Here God is speaking to Moses. And He says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Now, let me point out a few things to you from this verse. These will make up our points. Notice it was God who separated Aaron to be the high priest and his sons to be the priests. It was God who did it. God told him to take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. And then notice what the sons were to the high priest, or what they were to the high, they were sons to the high priest. And then notice from where God chose the priests, from among the children of Israel. He chose them from among a particular people. And then notice why God separated Aaron to be his high priest, that he may minister unto me, God says, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And notice this too. God speaks here of choosing Aaron and all his sons. But then God speaks and says only Aaron would be ministering to him. Look at this. That he may minister unto me in the priest's office. He talked about all those priests, and then he said that he, talking about Aaron, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. He's the only one that could go into the holiest of holies and meet God in the holiest of holies. The only one that could do that was Aaron, the high priest. And so that's what we have pictured there. Picture Christ, who alone could make intercession. Now notice what they had to wear in order to approach God. "Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." They had to come in holy garments. Now, the best commentary on these verses is found in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to Hebrews 5. This is where we'll spend the rest of our time. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men," see that, "taken from among men, is ordained for men." I've titled this, "Of Men, For Men." They're taken from men and ordained for men. "In things pertaining to God, that He may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, He ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now there are many religious groups today who still hold to a priestly structure in their denominations. And that exposes their ignorance of the Scriptures, because there is no more priesthood. Christ came and accomplished everything that was pictured in all of those Old Testament types. He's the fulfillment of them. And some will say, well, we just use these to help us see the picture. No, God says don't use them at all. They were types until the time of Reformation came. That's all they were. If we who are sinners would approach a holy God, we have to come through faith in Christ our High Priest. He has to represent us to God. We cannot represent ourselves before God. I urge you to believe on Christ and continue believing on Christ to the end. He alone can make intercession for His people in the holy throne room of God. He alone. So our subject is of men for men. Now first of all, get this. It was God who ordained, or who chose, who ordained, who separated, and who called His high priests and His priests. God chose them. He ordained them to the priesthood. He separated them out, and He called them. It was God that did it. God's high priest, as well as His priests, were set apart by God. It was not of men. And these men didn't one day just decide they would take up the priesthood as a profession. That wasn't how it operated. It was of God. God our Father chose Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose Christ before the foundation of the world and ordained Him to be the high priest of His people. He separated Him and called Him to be the high priest of His people. Now, even God's own Son did not make this choice by His will to become a priest. God separated him. God's will chose him and made him a priest. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honoreth me." His Father honored him by making him a priest. "Of whom you say that he's your God?" He said, "He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory." He said, "But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So, just as it was God who chose his high priest, Christ Jesus, it's God who chose his people in his high priest to be priests unto God. He chose, he ordained, he separated, he calls his people to be his priests. It's not of men. We don't make the choice of ourselves, of our fleshly will, to become sons of God and priests of God. We don't do that. Our Lord has to come and create us anew and give us a new heart and give us a new will. But He's already made us priests. He chose us to be His priests. He ordained it. He set us apart and He called us. When I was preaching the ordination service out in San Diego for Brother Kevin, I quoted that verse out of Jeremiah. God said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I separated you from your mother's womb, and I ordained you to be a prophet before the nations." That's so of all God's pastors. It's not of men that they're made. I'm talking about faithful pastors now. It's of God that they were separated from before the foundation of the world. And it's true of sinners saved by grace. Scripture says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." You're a chosen generation, chosen of God. You're a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto God. You're a holy nation, a nation set apart by God. You're a peculiar people, a special people, a chosen, special, particular people unto God. And here's why He did it. That you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We can't glory in ourselves. The whole purpose of salvation is to give God all the glory. You ask King Uzziah, you ask him if it's safe to take this honor to yourself. You remember when he had conquered all those enemies, and God had given him those enemies into his hand. And Uzziah got lifted up in pride. And he decided he didn't need a priest. He'd just go into the tabernacle and he'd make an offering himself. And God made him instantly. They told him when he went in there, the priest said, "This doesn't pertain to you." And God made him a leper right then. Cast him out. No man takes this honor to himself. God does it. Secondly, Exodus 28 tells us that these priests were Aaron's sons. I think it's so instructive that God, He chose Aaron to be His high priest, and He didn't just choose random men to be the priests. He chose Aaron's sons to be the priests. And there's a picture there. Remember now, Aaron typifies Christ, our high priest. And His sons typify all those that Christ makes priests. God's elect, who Christ died for, who He makes priests unto God. Christ Jesus is our everlasting Father. Isaiah says that. He's our everlasting Father. Adam was our first father. But Adam plunged us into sin and death, and he ceased being our father. He left us as orphans, dead in trespasses and in sin. But Christ came forth as our everlasting Father, and He fulfilled the law for us. He put away sin for us. He made us righteous, and He ascended to the Father where He ever lives. He's our everlasting Father. That relationship will never end. And by the same token, He's our everlasting High Priest. He's our everlasting high priest. Verse 6, he says also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." It says a few pages over that Melchizedek was made a priest without mother, without father, without origin. And it says he was made like unto Christ. He was made to picture Christ. Christ is eternal. That's why He's God and man. And He's eternal. And everything He accomplished is eternal. He lives forever as our high priest because He's righteous. He perfected the law. So sin and death has no hold on Him. Sin and death cannot demand He die. And those that He died for did everything He did in Him so that death has no claim on us either. You're alive. Did you know that? You're alive forevermore. You that believe on Christ, you're everlastingly alive right now where you sit. Oh, you're going to drop this body of death. That's just going to be a good thing. But you're alive. You're going to be with the Father immediately. So, sinner, Christ is the only Father. He's the only high priest who can save. Christ is. Come to Christ today. Believe on Him today. You need Christ to represent you to God. Listen to this. He's able to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, thirdly, God chose His high priest, and He chose His priest from among a particular people. He chose His high priest and His priest from a particular people. Now, God didn't choose Christ, and He didn't choose His people from just the order of mankind. I guess there's a sense in which He did, but what I'm getting at is this. He chose us as His particular people. And you know, when Christ came, Christ didn't come. The Scripture doesn't say He came and took on Him the nature of all mankind. No. He came and took on Him the nature of Abraham's seed. What does that mean? That's God's elect. He came and took the nature of God's elect that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, the reason God chose Christ to be our high priest is twofold. Look back in verse 1, Hebrews 5:1. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Now, you and I can't make a sacrifice to God that God will accept. It has to be perfect to be accepted. We were born in sin. So everything we try to do for God is sinful, and God won't receive it. Not of ourselves. But Christ is the only man other than Adam who was born into this world sinless. And so he was fit to live under the law and to die under the law. And the reason he died under it is he took our sin. He made the necessary offerings to God to make us accepted of God. That's what he did when he laid down his life on the cross. He perfected his people by perfecting the law for us. And so that's first reason. He did this for men. He did it for his elect. He made the offerings and the gifts to God on our behalf. And then the second reason he chose Christ from among men, and the reason Christ became the God-man, our high priest, is so that he would know our infirmities and be able to comfort us. Verse 2 says, who can have compassion on the ignorant? Who's the ignorant? That's me and you. That's me and you. And on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. Christ became a man and tempted so that he could experience just how weak our flesh really is. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. He was experiencing that himself. Our text says here, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It means he experienced it. He experienced obedience. And he experienced what it is to have flesh and to be so weak in flesh. And remember, God sent an angel and strengthened him. And then on the cross, when he was bearing the sin of his people and God poured out judgment on him, he was touched. He felt every infirmity that our sins cause us to feel. Everything that our sins cause us, the pains and suffering our sins cause us to feel, from shame and guilt to hatred of it, to just all the things that it causes us. He experienced it. He was tempted in all points, but he never sinned. And so now he's able to comfort you and me because he knows these infirmities that we face. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so Hebrews 2:18 says this, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to comfort them that are tempted. That's why he became a man. That's why we needed a high priest, to be a man. Now, fourthly, we saw that God chose his high priest to minister unto him. That's why he chose him, to minister unto him. He chose his high priest to do that. Only the high priest entered the Holy of Holies. He entered once a year, and he didn't enter without blood. He went into that holiest of holies with the blood of that lamb that had died for the sake of Israel. Now be sure you get the picture of the Old Testament covenant. He didn't take that lamb when it had the sin ceremonially put on it. It became spotted by the sins of the people before God. And so when it deserved to die, and it died, but the high priest didn't take that spotted body of that lamb into the Holy of Holies. It's a holy place. He couldn't go in there. No, the high priest took its blood and went into the holiest of holies and sprinkled that blood seven times on the mercy seat over the law so that it's picturing Christ, our mercy seat, our propitiation, who fulfilled the law for us through his blood. And so the scriptures tell us right here, verse 7, he was representing his people. We can't save ourselves by our good works. We can't save ourselves by our law keeping. We can't save ourselves by our will. we have to have Christ represent us. And that's what he was doing. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. What does that mean? That means though he was made sin for us, though he bore our sin, though he was made justly guilty before the holy law of God so that God was just to pour out wrath on him, though that was true, in his nature, in his heart, he was perfectly holy before God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see him praying to the Father who could save him from death. And he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. We've been going through the Psalms, and we've heard him praying in the Psalms and what he prayed to the Father. He never stopped looking to the Father. That's what holiness does. Even when he was separated from God, he never stopped looking to the Father. You see, our sins had to be not only paid for and the law be fulfilled, it had to be done from a holy heart. And Christ did it all from a holy heart. And so he's learned obedience. He's experienced obedience. He came and he was obedient to his Father for us, for his elect. And so now he's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And our obeying him's easy. His obeying the Father was hard. He came into a world of sin and had to be perfect and had to bear the sin of his people and had to be perfect while he did that in his heart and never sin. That's how he had to obey the Father to fulfill the law for his people. You and I obey him simply by believing on him. Isn't that a lot easier? That's what Paul meant when he said he's taken the law out of the way for us. And he abides in us. He's even the strength we have to cast our care on him. And he does it so that we can live unto God through faith. The just shall live by faith. You know what that means? That means the justified, those Christ justified, shall live by faith in Christ. And that's how we live unto God. Look over at Hebrews 9. I want to show you all of this in the Scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 24. Here's what I'm saying to you. For Hebrews 9, 24. Christ has not entered to the holy places made with hands, which were the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You see, he didn't have to die multiple times. It's only appointed unto men to die one time and suffer judgment one time. So he just died one time. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He won't have any sin when he comes back. He won't be bearing our sin. He bore it away. And he'll come back and take us to himself. Now lastly, Exodus 28:2 tells us this. It says, thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. You see, Christ Jesus, He is the one represented by these holy garments. Christ our high priest is the one represented by these holy garments. He made these holy garments. Christ did. It's His glory. It's His beauty. As a man, as a God-man mediator, it's His glory and His beauty by which we're saved. And Christ comes to us and He puts His glory and His beauty upon us. This is why we needed a high priest. Listen, for such a high priest became us. It was becoming. We had to have a high priest such as this, who's holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. We had to have this high priest. And through faith in Christ, He's put His glory upon us. He's put His beauty upon His people. He really accomplished this. He's not just pretending and treating you as if. He's really put His glory on you and treated and made you beautiful before God. It says in Revelation 19, speaking of His bride, it says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Some will preach that and they'll say, oh, so you got to do right so you can have this righteousness. That ain't what it's talking about. This is the righteousness of Christ. It said this fine linen was granted to her. It was given to her. She didn't have it. We didn't have this righteousness. It was given to us. Listen to this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Do you know why I tell you every now and then how important it is for us to dress in our best when we come to the house of God? The reason I tell you that is because our whole gospel is about how we have to be dressed in the very best garments to come before God. And to come before God in His house with just the nicest clothes we have, that's picturing the fact that we have to come in the best garment, and that's Christ's righteousness. Now turn with me to Revelation 5 and verse 9, and we'll end with this. This is what Christ has done right here by being our high priest. He alone served the Father. He alone entered into the holy place, and He did this for His priests, His elect people. And it says here in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. When you read in the Scriptures where it says God loved the world, or it says God's going to save all men, it's talking about all kinds of men out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It doesn't mean He's going to save every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. He's going to save His elect out of them. And that's the world He's talking about. And it says, and You have made us unto our God kings and priests. He's made us a royal priesthood unto God. You know what the priest could do? The priest could go into the holy place. They didn't go into the holiest of holies. They went to the holy place. And they could serve God on that foundation of redemption accomplished, that silver foundation. And they went in there and served God. You know what we do as royal priests unto God? He's given us access into His holy of holies through prayer, through the name of Christ. And now, in this earth, we can serve our God, and He accepts us. Isn't that what it says? And we shall reign on the earth. We're reigning right now. And this reign's just going to get better and better. Because one day we're going to reign without sin. But we're a royal priesthood by Christ's blood. I pray that's a blessing to you. Let's stand together. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for sending Your Son to be our high priest, to be holy and righteous on our behalf. who made us holy and righteous. Lord, make us to glory only in Him. And Father, we ask You to subdue us, subdue our sin nature. Turn us from our sins. Make us to honor You in our life. And make us, Lord, to love one another. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our great High Priest. Amen.